O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you. Trust. 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 That's a word that I think that we throw around pretty liberally. I'll do X if I can trust you'll do Y. I'll meet you for coffee at Starbucks at 3 p.m. if I can trust that you'll show up. I'll let you drive my car if I can trust that you won't wreck it. I'll loan you money if I can trust that you will pay me back. I'll give you my heart if I can trust that you'll protect it, cherish it, and keep it safe. There's a certain amount of trust that you place in me to go on your behalf to the gospel week after week and then stand here in your pulpit and bring you what I'm sure you trust is a faithful word from God. We broker and we barter trust as though it were some sort of commodity, all day long, multiple times a day, every day. It's a lottery that we play, and the stakes are all that we value. Our feelings, our emotions, our safety and security, our health and our well-being. These things rest upon what we hope is a solid foundation of trust. If we're proven wrong, we revoke our trust. Take it back, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, what are we really bargaining for in this process? What's on the other side of that trust equation that we're negotiating consciously and subconsciously? What are we being drawn into when trust is required? That would be relationship. I like to think of trust as the social lubrication that makes relationship possible. We can be in relationship when there's a certain level of trust that's established and present. What I'm protecting, though, is my vulnerability. Vulnerability is that thing that stands in the gap that exists between you and me. If I'm going to give you my heart, or my money, or you're going to let me stand up here and take a swipe at saying something cogent, we're making ourselves vulnerable to each other. Truth be told, unless we're really, really confident in ourselves, vulnerability, being vulnerable, choosing to make ourselves vulnerable, is something that scares us to death. The heck of it is, we can't be in deep, abiding, authentic relationship with one another unless we can somehow get a healthy perspective on our vulnerability. Now, Dr. Brené Brown is a sociologist and research professor at the University of Houston, and she's devoted a significant portion of her career to raising our collective consciousness around creating and sustaining life-giving relationships. And she has much to say about vulnerability in her book, Daring Greatly. We typically view vulnerability as a bad thing. It's a sign of weakness, something that we must hide under fear, shame, grief, sadness, or disappointment. But Brené instead challenges us to get in touch with our vulnerability, to rethink what it means to be vulnerable, to reframe it as actually the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. Anywhere love is, God is surely there. And so in today's lectionary, we're given the opportunity to confront our own vulnerability at trusting in God. Can we, in our sacred text today, find those places where love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity need God replace fear, shame, grief, sadness, and disappointment? Well, they don't call Jesus' Sermon on the Plain hard words, harsh rhetoric for nothing. They're hard words to hear. Luke doesn't soften up the Beatitudes the way Matthew does in the Sermon on the Mount, over-spiritualizing the demands into beautiful, quotable Hallmark sayings that we can put nicely on the wall somewhere. Luke is much more, shall we say, plain on the plain. And it's not addressed to the crowd, those faithful who've gathered to hear Jesus preach and teach and to be near his healing power. No, he turns to the disciples to deliver his hard words. The people who've shown up looking for strength and for courage and for healing aren't the ones who need the hard words. Apparently, in this case, it's the disciples, and you can draw that line on out to include the church, capital C, who haven't yet got it, who need to hear the stinging critique that Jesus offers. Jesus' implication is that the people who have come, the great unwashed, have already surrendered their vulnerability to poverty, to hunger, and to sorrow. They're ready for healing. It's Jesus' own disciples who haven't. They still don't get it. Vulnerability is for them a place of face-saving shame and fear, fear of discovery. And to be honest, it doesn't seem like they ever really get it, at least during Jesus' earthly ministry. What is it about going all the way to the bottom of the barrel that's so important that Jesus says that we all have to do it? That those who are there are the ones who are blessed. I want to know, don't you? I think it's because that's the place where we meet the realization truly and deeply and profoundly that we are not God. The world is not God. My 401k is not God. My abilities to provide for me and my loved ones are not God. This church is not God. My job is not God. What you think of me is not God. I can make all of those things my God, and they become idols. That would be the illusion of invulnerability. But the reality is, God is God, and we are not. Now that's hard to hear, because fundamentally going all the way back into the depths of my primordial reptilian brain, I want to be God. I want to be the protector and the controller of my own fate and my own destiny, because I'm terrified of being vulnerable. What if there's not enough in my 401k? Or what if you don't want to let me into your pulpit next week? Or what if my boss doesn't like me? Or what if my spouse cheats on me? Or what if, God forbid, I get a life-threatening diagnosis? What if I'm vulnerable? Now, I'm going to be real with you for just a moment. I struggle with this every single day of my life. It's an addiction, this insatiable desire to be God, to conquer vulnerability. Just because a bishop laid hands on my head and I wear this collar around my neck most days of my life does not mean that I've transcended the very same struggle that Peter and James and John and all the disciples, and I venture to guess some of us even here today, have been in as well. To make ourselves vulnerable to God, to place fully our trust in God, that, my friends, is an ongoing daily moment-by-moment struggle. It's not made any easier by the screaming of the world to take that role away. So here's why this relationship stuff is scary. If you and I pact to be in relationship, in real, authentic, honest relationship, the risk that we're both taking, the vulnerability that we both share, is that we're both going to walk away changed. It's simply not possible for us to show each other who we are, minus the masks and the guilt and the shame, and not be changed. But if we trust in God, if we dare to enter into authentic, honest relationship with God, our definition of vulnerability blossoms into a completely new and different reality. New possibilities, things we can't even begin to imagine, get birthed in God's redeeming love. The well of joy and courage and empathy and creativity begin to overflow. We get little glimpses of it. When we can get out of our fear of vulnerability or our illusions of invulnerability, when we get all of that out of the way, even momentarily, we catch a glimpse of God's reality. And that's worth trusting. So here's something for you to ponder as you're heading to lunch at the country club or Luby's or whatever it is that's on your lunchtime docket. If authentic relationship means transformation for both parties in the relationship, if the potential for change is what the vulnerability is that demands trust, and God enters into relationship with each one of us, is God making God's self vulnerable? Amen.